Ja.
Another Christian. Explain the Trinity.
Trinity are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three persons. So they all agree. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7.
3 to 4. Where are you at?
1 John 5, 7, 9.
Okay, so the 1 John 5, 7.
Says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one. I mean, if we go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, I guess all the way through 14, we can understand that the Word is Jesus. I also see, and these three, it says these three are one. So they have unity. They have unity. They're equal.
Where do you come up with the idea of the reason?
Let me give it out. So good.
You want to phone a friend?
Yeah, phone a friend.
Anybody help him? Look at the show.
What means to Spurs call server 5 on this might be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus to be in the form of God, but not robbery to be equal with God. He himself with no reputation took on him the form of the servant, who was made in the likeness of it.
Would be
okay.
So we have the Heavenly Father, we have Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit.
Three in one. Three persons, not personalities. There's no such thing as a schizophrenic God. He doesn't express himself as Eve one day and Adam the next day. There's three persons. Do we have any Bible to show that? So there are actually three distinct persons. What are they?
John, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You have all three in the same general vicinity, but not one, they're separate.
Excellent. At one point in time, you have the Heavenly Father in heaven, you have Jesus on the earth, you have the Holy Spirit in the air. Same moment in time, three distinct individuals doing three distinct things for what is noticeably present with all three of them.
That's agreement.
Exactly. They're in unity, harmony, equal. Why keep belaboring this? If you don't get this down, you're not going to get anything down. I don't care how well you know missionary Baptist doctrine. I don't care how well you know Winnie. If you don't know who you believe in, you don't know nothing. The most confusing to religion was right there. Catholics. Why Mary is the mother of God. Excuse me? When did Jesus have a mother? I thought this was eternally. When did Jesus begin?
You know, we begin at creation.
I'm sure you know.
He always was. So what is Mary? She's the mother of the physical incarnation of Jesus. You're always quiet. Always. Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Mormons. Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Even Jesus.
A lot of so-called Christians will tell you that Jesus is the first creation of God. Is that what's happening here?
No, no.
No. We have a Trinity. So existed from the very beginning. Now we've been over this and over this and over this. Get it down into your heart until it's automatic. Now we've also looked what also existed with the Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit before anything was ever created.
Wisdom.
Before anything else ever was created, there existed wisdom. These guys could have been the Three Stooges. Been existing forever and not knowing how anything fit together or worked. Instead, we looked at knowledge. What knowledge?
Just a factor of station.
Exactly. It's just the accumulation, the acquisition of facts and information. The Garrett here tonight. We all know a perfect example of knowledge is that he is devastatingly handsome. Now, above knowledge is understanding. What is understanding?
But that's not true. Understanding.
What was that?
But that is not true.
That is not true. Understanding how facts relate and connect with each other. Why his wife would ever choose him takes a great deal of understanding.
That's the truth.
So what is wisdom then?
You know what, how to use wisdom?
Yeah, proper application, right? It requires application of understanding and knowledge. Wisdom, we looked at the verses, the priests were to preach and teach knowledge and understanding. Where does wisdom come from?
Not
what? God. Because it is God who teaches you how to apply the information.
If you can't get the Trinity to get understand the Bible, you can't believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, why are you going to church?
For a lot of reasons, none of which are holy and for God. Now, take all this, take a big step backward. Religion is good about getting in the weeds. Pharisees knew the law backwards and forward. They knew it so much that they bird dogged Jesus. It's the Sabbath to see if he's going to violate a law today. They missed the big picture. Man was created for the Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Is that right? So the Pharisees thought. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. Look at the big picture. What's the whole purpose of everything? Why was everything created? Look at Ephesians, not Ephesians, but Revelation chapter 4. Why do we even exist? What's the whole point? Look at verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Why does everything exist? For God's pleasure. He created it for his pleasure. And then we get all misty about, well, who can understand God? Can you understand God? Can you know God? Why did he create something?
go all the way back to the book of Genesis. What was he doing in the book of Genesis? He says, let there be light. It was good. Let there be flowers, and it was good. And let there be mammals, and it was good. And he comes to this critter. He treats him different than everything else. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. If you get this down, you can understand. If you get this big picture down, you'll understand everything and how everything fits together. How everything fits together. It's because he's been consistent from the get-go. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Who's got that? Brother Reagan.
And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the birds, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
So what do you know about verse 26? What's happening with verse 26?
Man is made in God's image.
Man's made in his image and in his likeness. There's something separate about man. That's from the get-go. Now look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 7, Brother Alex.
The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathing in the nostrils, breath of life, and making him glory.
So what's so big about that?
The only one. The only one that he gave a living soul to. None of the animal had to.
Okay. What else?
Formed of the dust.
Formed of the dust? Okay. For elephant and giraffe and
breathe into his nostrils.
Let us. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He created universe, planets, whales, formed man to the dust of the earth. How did man get breath? How often is that? How intimate is that? For the Christians, tell me when it gets enough. I'm not supposed to have to read
it. Hey, about 10 years ago, he didn't have to wear the trip and wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's right. And his eyes were a whole lot bigger. From the get-go, he tells you, man is different. I created man for my purpose, for my pleasure, and my likeness, my image. I formed him from the dust of the earth, and I breathed into him the breath of life. Man's different.
The breath of life he needs. Man's more than the same that when he gave the other half, that breath of life was the living soul and
body. Yeah. So what does he do with that? Man's now a living soul. What does God do with that? Place him in the garden. What does he do with that? Man's roaming around the garden going, ooh, look, a fence fly. Ooh, look, a lemon. Ooh, look, a radish.
Charge me. Walk with God. That's the penalty.
For the purpose.
Since 25:8, let them make me a sanctuary for them.
Hold on to that. That's great. That's great. Hold on to that. Write it down.
That God agrees.
So what's the point of that?
For eternity.
Excellent. So Toronto reads me here. For fellowship. God created everything for his pleasure and it focused on man. And when he created man, he breathed in the breath of life into him. He puts man in the garden. What did God do? Look at chapter 3 of Genesis. Chapter 3. Verse number 8. Who's got that? Brother Elliot.
And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Verse 9.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou?
I thought I knew everything.
Adam evidently did a really good job of hiding. What was that about? What's it trying to say? Was this the first time God ever walked in the garden? Was this the first time they'd ever heard his voice?
No.
What was the where art thou? The call to repentance. Now, what was that verse, Sister Amber, that you read? No.
25:8.
Exodus 25:8. You read it again.
Well, then, Phil, sorry, I don't know that you're further, but it's like that making a sanctuary that might dwell among them.
Yeah, let it make me a sanctuary. For what purpose? What's that?
Verse 22.
Verse 22.
There I will meet with me, community, perpetuity, and charity. One mercy.
So are you getting the big picture here? Roll the clock ahead to the very end. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Start verse number 1. Brother Josh, would you read verse 1 through 3 for me?
And so I knew heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
What's the end? Try the relationships. God dwelling with his people. Verse 3. Behold. You know, that's my very favorite word in the Bible, because without exception, every single time you see the word behold, it literally means stop, pay attention. The next thing set is very important to the speaker. Behold, what's very important? The tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them. How long? Forever. Forever. The tabernacle of God is with men, and I'll dwell with them. And they will be his people, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So when it goes back a million years, go back a billion years, go back before anything ever existed, there's the three of them. When did the idea of Revelation chapter 21 and 22 come in? Was it in the garden? Was it in the tabernacle?
How what?
Before the world was. When was it determined that Jesus would be the sacrifice? In the council before the world was. Beginning to see the big picture. He wanted fellowship with man. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Let Christian read that for you.
But declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my will.
Did you hear that? Declaring the end from the beginning. When he said, let it be, he knew what was going to be the end of that. When he said, let there be, he knew there would be a new Jerusalem. He's declared the end from the beginning. We still, Enoch, what in the world was Enoch doing?
Lots of that.
Yeah. And what was he preaching here?
The
second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is Rondo. Not the first, but the second. Declaring the end from the beginning. We talk about getting to walk the streets of gold. God's not interested in that. What's God interested in? Spending time with you. With me. Wrap your mind around that.
Boom.
God wants to spend time with you. Declaring what? The end from the beginning. Survive that? Yeah. My counsel shall stand. Wouldn't that have been interesting? When was Jesus slain? Before the foundation of the earth. Would have been interesting to get Genesis chapter 6 and Noah not find righteousness. Turns out God's a liar. God's not a liar. My counsel shall stand. Do you see the big picture? What's the big picture? God loves you. It's always been about man. And God's love. God's love. It's God's love for you. Get the bigger picture. Oh, now the bigger picture. We have God walking with Adam in the garden. Personal connection. Roll the clock ahead. We have Abraham running into a guy named Melchizedek. The world's not happening.
Peace to God.
Praise to God. And King. It's interesting. Genesis chapter 14 now. He's picked up in Hebrews as a foreshadowing of Christ, not having any mother or father. What's the role of a creed? By the way, what are New Testament church members called?
It's a priest.
He's a priest. What about Catholic?
A king and a priest.
What's the role of a priest?
To minister.
To minister. What does that mean?
For the people.
For the people? To who? Are you hearing this? God's always been focused on man. Provide intercessor for man. Well, the clock ahead, now we're in Egypt. We come out of Egypt. And they get the law, and what's contained in the law? Well, they're getting everything else. What else did they get?
Got a tabernacle.
They got a tabernacle.
a world of tabernacle about.
It's the church called Woven.
The dwelling place, sir.
What?
Dwelling place.
The dwelling place.
Close to man.
A church in the wilderness? Yes, indeed. So what's the point? It's a dwelling place. Dwelling place of who?
God.
Where?
Jesus.
Among his people. Did you see it? Who was in the garden?
His people.
Now we get to the tabernacle. He has a dwelling place. He is a, turns out he's consistent declaring the end from the beginning. He wants to dwell with man. He wants to have a close personal relationship with man. The tabernacle. And what was his people to do with the tabernacle? Camp around it. Be attached to it. How often were they to deal with it? Once a year?
Yeah.
Every day. How much contact does he want with you?
Constant
contact. Throw the clock ahead. Now you get to the church. So the Reagan said the tabernacle of the church in Oakland. Why did you say that?
Because that's what Acts tells us.
Every final verse that says that?
Yes. 37 or 38.
When you find it, read it.
This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracle to give unto us.
This is he who was in the church in the wilderness. So what's the point of church?
What's that? Meet with God.
To meet with God.
To be close.
What does that mean?
Give him honor and glory.
To give him honor and glory. Wonderful. What's the point of church? Why do you go to church? Keep your pastor off your back, keep your folks off your back, clean people, make business contacts, to divine fifth arrange.
To worship God.
To worship God? Wonderful. What else? What's the point of church? What's the point of the temple?
To fellowship is close to you. Learn what God has for you.
Learn what God has for you. Good, good, good.
What's the point?
Surrender.
I will speak to you from the tabernacle. And if you're not at the tabernacle, you're not going to hear what's said to say. So if you're not in the church where he is, you're not going to hear any word.
Excellent. This goes back to Brother Doug's question. Why would you ever send God's people to a religion to learn how to serve God? I'm an attorney. I wouldn't go to a chiropractor to learn what the law is. Really? Yeah, that's that stupid. For a chiropractor, why, he knows what? No, give me somebody that knows the law. Likewise, I'm not going to be an auto mechanic to learn how to talk about it. Does it make sense? But when it comes to religion, man gets stupid. So why are you in church?
Fellowship with God.
What?
To fellowship with God.
To fellowship with God. To have an intense personal relationship with God. To have an intense connection where you can worship God. For he may dwell among the people. Now we got tabernacle to church. What was there in between tabernacle and church? Temple. What's happening in the temple? The same thing.
For the Christian, like you said,
78.
Give you the figure. Tabernacle is a church in the wilderness. Temple is a picture of the millennial. Tabernacle is movable. Church is moved. temple planted in Jerusalem. Millennial get where the temple will be. In Jerusalem. What's the commonality? God wanting to be with man. When you go to church, what's your focus? Everybody else? Well, that's nice. You missed the point of church. It's about God. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. To what end?
What that can you say again?
Right. Really? Say that loud, if you like to believe it.
Go right over in the pocket.
That's a vision. How do you get that out of me going to work?
It's cue the hand.
Revelation chapter 21, you're given the message of the two,
right?
So the 12,000 turmoils. So for long as an eighth of a mile. Okay, it comes up about 1,500 square mile. Well, what's the significance of this? Well, the dimension also occurred someplace else. Where did it occur?
Tabernacle.
Although Jim says tabernacle.
What?
It occurs in the tabernacle as hanging cubits by hanging cubits by hanging cubits. A cubit is a... Does anybody know what a cubit is? It's about 18 inches. What's a cubit? If you didn't have lasers, you didn't have nice dangling stake. What's that?
Yes.
A cubit is a measuring device from your elbow to the tip of your finger. Commonly 18 inches. So if it said, cut me a board 2 cubits long, you go, okay. Cut right here. Makes sense, doesn't it? A span, 10 feet of board is a film. It's a span. If you ask me to build something, it's going to be small and cute. If you ask Brother Sean to build something, it's going to be big and ugly.
Story, really.
In the temple, it's 20. Now, interesting enough, this dimension in all three of them describes the same area. What is that area?
Sanctuary.
Land. Excellent. It is the holiest of all. Or holy
of the holy.
What makes it so holy? God is there. In the middle of the church, in the middle of the tabernacle, in the middle of the temple, there's God. Big picture. Let's make man in our image. He's willing to breath of life. Walk with him in the garden. What does God want? He wants you, and he wants you close. And he's done everything to get close to you. Get the big pictures. You get the big picture, then you'll understand why are there 5 elements for baptism. Why is there grace involved in salvation? Why isn't it just predestination? Because he wants you. He never created a single soul that he wanted to go to hell. He created to be with him. It's consistent to the beginning. Any questions? Good.
I've heard people say, why did God send people to hell? And he doesn't send them because they'll make you go to hell, but he doesn't send them.
No, he's done everything possible to avoid that.
That's why it's so important that what he said, whosoever is the will, gives for us.
Yes.
And he didn't want to, it's really hold back on man's choice to want to be with God, rather than everything to bring him in, but I feel all the choice. She wants to go to God.
Exactly right. Brother Anderson, I'm going to move on.
He was in the thought. He was in the thoughts. What is he going to do? To give us, he gave everybody, even though the frame on the clock.
Yeah.
That, how much he loves man.
Excellent. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Look at verse number 10. Brother Josh, would you read that for us? Isaiah 43:10.
Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me.
You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me.
God desires man, but God desires man to know him. This isn't a one-way street. He actually wants to be known. Have you ever wanted somebody to know you? To be acquainted with you? To have interest in you? God wants that. God wants that. Look in verse 10 again.
You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. Look at verse 7. Well, Alex, would you read that word?
And I will give them and heart to know me, and I am the Lord. The nations shall be my people, and I will be their God. But they shall return unto me with their whole heart.
I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. I'll be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now look at chapter 9 here of Jeremiah. So verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You want to have something to have glory about? Glory that you know God. Glory that you understand God. That's huge. I dare say that takes out 99% of everybody on the planet. That you know God and understand God. Can you understand God? Yes, when you get into the Word and get to the place where he dwells. Let him the glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgments, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. Or chapter 8, rather, in verse 11.
Yeah.
Quoting Old Testament here, but Hebrews 8:11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Wow. He desires to be known. He desires to be known. He desires to have that personal contact. Get the big picture. When we're looking at the Godhead before creation, we're getting to know him, who he really is. He's marked by unity, agreement, equality, and harmony. You know, these three could actually stand in each other's presence and not get exasperated. We know on the planet, you put two people in the same room, sooner or later, there's going to be a disagreement. Open the window, turn up the heat, turn down the heat, open the door. I'm cold, I'm hot. There's going to be a disagreement. Not with these three. And at some point in time, they said, we should have a man that we could share our love, who would share their love back to us. He wrote the Bible back here. Never forget that. Man in religion thinks he started in Genesis, and in 6 days, and they're already wrong. He creates man, Oh, by chapter 3, man blows it. Hasn't even made it 3 chapters in the Bible, and God's got to start planning different stuff. That's not the Bible. That's man's religion. He declared the end from the beginning. The first thing he did was, I want this. I want to be closely connected with man. I want to live eternity with man. I want man to walk streets of gold in my presence. I want to shine as the sun forever. I want them to reflect that light forever. I want it all. Now, how do we get there? That's Revelation 22 and 29. How do we get there? Now we walk all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. He says, let there be light. So he's always looking at the answer. And it wasn't a surprise to him that he walked in the garden one day and Adam wasn't there waiting for him. For art thou, he wasn't confused. Adam, you broke the fellowship. Get the big picture, everything else will fit in. The chart that Brother Sean from Lord, all that will not seem like bits and pieces that don't join together. At first glance, that chart looks like bits and pieces that don't join together. Get the big picture, and often it all fits together. We'll end there. We'll pick up tomorrow. But stand up, let me do what you. Brother Jeff, would you hear that?